Hey, it's Farnoosh, and if I had to go back to my 19-year-old self and share her my one big piece of financial wisdom that I've learned in these 25 years, it's this. You can't save your way to wealth. You can't save your way to a comfortable retirement. You have to invest your money. Luckily, I got started in my early 20s. I learned that lesson early on, and I want to share the wisdom. I want to share what I've learned over these last 20-plus years investing in the stock market. I don't pick stocks. I don't pay lots of money to work with experts, and I've amassed a seven-figure portfolio slow and steady. I'm teaching my very unsexy tricks on Monday, April 29th, live at 3 p.m. Eastern. Go to sowmoneyworkshop.com to learn more and save your spot. Go to sowmoneyworkshop.com and sign up for my investing masterclass. Even if you can't make it live, everyone who registers will get the recording.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 654, JJ Ramberg, host of MSNBC's Your Business and co-author of The Startup Club.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
You're listening to So Money, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Monday, November 20th, getting ready for Thanksgiving. Who's traveling? I am. I'm not sure when to leave. When's a safe time to leave New York City so you're not going to be stuck in 16 hours of traffic? I don't think there's a good answer for that. I'll let you know how it goes. Hope wherever you're headed that your travels are easy and safe. All right, today we welcome JJ Ramberg to So Money. She is the host of MSNBC's Your Business and also the co-author of a new children's book called The Startup Club. You know, a lot of people ask me and my husband how we plan to teach our children about money. I mean, they're a little too young right now to understand the concepts of money. Although we do have this really cool coin jar in the living room, and Evan typically is, you know, grabbing pennies and dimes that he finds around the house and knows to deposit them in this coin jar. He knows there's a place for money in the house. But really, as they get older, you know, how are we going to teach them about money? And so, yes, I think that it's going to be a conscious effort to teach them things like delaying gratification and saving and their needs versus wants. I know that this year, for the first time, Evan is starting his Christmas list, which we didn't do before, but he's asking for things now, and we need to put them on a list. And he gets excited about that. He actually thinks he's getting everything on the list. He's not, but the act of putting things on a list, I think, helps to delay the gratification and also really think about what it is that you want. Do you really want it? Do you really need it? At the same time, though, and this brings us to our guest today, I think it's important to teach children the benefits of entrepreneurship. I didn't really get this growing up. You know, I think that I wish that I had been raised with an entrepreneurial mindset. This is something that, you know, I ask my guests often, what do you wish you'd learned this about money growing up? My answer to that is I wish my parents had told me that you can be your own boss, that you can create something and actually make money from that creation. You know, emphasizing the benefits of generating ideas, executing on those ideas, creating a plan, learning how to sell, learning how to negotiate, all of that are not just great financial and business skills, those are great life skills. And so JJ Ramberg, who herself is an entrepreneur and an award-winning financial journalist and the host of the popular MSNBC show Your Business, has a new book out called The Startup Club, which tells the story of two school-age friends and the ups and downs of running a business together. Will their friendship prevail? Dun, dun, dun. It's a wonderful book that really brings to life all of the benefits of entrepreneurship and also the hardship. But really why at the end of the day, it is a great thing to experiment with. JJ is a mom of three and has lots of personal advice on how to engage children in discussions around money and business. And when she's not writing books and hosting her TV show or managing a household of five, JJ also operates GoodSearch.com, a company that she co-founded with her brother. GoodSearch is a search engine that donates half of its revenue to the charities and schools that its users designate. So here we go. Here's JJ Ramberg. JJ, welcome to the show. It's great to connect with you finally on my podcast. We've been friends for years.
Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited.
It's great timing. You obviously do so much. We could have interviewed you at any point with all that you have going on, but this is now a really special time because you have a new children's book, and I want to start there. It's called The Startup Club. Tell us about it and what inspired it.
Well, thank you again for having me on. I'm so excited about this book. It's probably the thing I'm most excited about that I'm doing right now. But it's a book for elementary age kids, and it is a fiction book, really fun to read, a fun kind of page-turner story for kids. But it's about a group of friends who start a business. And through it, your kids learn what's the difference between revenue and profit, and what is marketing, and what do you do when you're in a fight with your co-founder, and social responsibility. And so we kind of take all these business lessons, put it in an age-appropriate and fun way, and teach it through characters.
And you have elementary age children yourself. Did you test drive this with them?
I did. So I have three kids. They're now 7, 8, and 10. And the two older ones were my copy editors. I paid them each $10 to read the whole book and copy edit it.
Fabulous. Oh, that's so great. What was their feedback?
They liked it, but you know, I expected them to like it. They kind of have to say so because I'm their mom. Actually, they probably are the most honest ones. But what I was most excited about was when I gave an early copy to their friends. They had started a business with their friends called American Express, but I gave an early copy to their friends. And then I overheard them when they were talking about how to divide the profits. I overheard them referring to what the characters in the book did. And then I thought, okay, we've got something here.
It's working. You interview so many entrepreneurs as the host of the long-running successful show Your Business on MSNBC. Is it common for you, as you're interviewing so many people, to learn that when they were young, they got the tools and the education at a young age? Is there a correlation between getting the skills or the understanding at, say, age 8, 9, 10, and then someday becoming your own employer?
So, you know, I read this quote from Warren Buffett that said the most successful business owners, or sort of the indicator of who's going to be really successful, is how old they are when they started their first business. I saw that written in an article somewhere. I have never been able to track down or confirm that it is from him or not. But I love the sort of ethos of it, right? Just to start teaching your kids this when they're young, give them that entrepreneurial attitude, even if they're not going to start their own business, but just to have that kind of feeling of, I'm going to go take the bull by the horns. I'm going to find problems and solve them and start that young. And that carries on through life.
One of the best tips I've heard on this show about allowances is to incorporate some entrepreneurial aspect with the allowance process. So rather than just paying your kids like $5 for doing XYZ, they come up with the responsibilities that they want to perform, the tasks they want to perform. Ideally, it's like they go around the house and they identify problems like, Mom, your office is really messy, or the basement needs organizing. I want to do this. And then to add another layer to it, they negotiate, or they request their pay, and then they negotiate kind of the deal. And so parents listening, you don't have to have a business, right? You can just incorporate some of these entrepreneurial aspects, skill sets through things like allowance and even just day-to-day conversations, you know, asking kids to problem solve and incorporating, and then when they get that babysitting job, to negotiate their rate.
I love that idea. I'm going to go home because my kids are always asking for money.
Of course.
And asking for jobs, yeah, right? I'm going to go tell them. Yeah, go identify the problems.
It's a win-win, right? Because then you get your your dirty work figured out,
totally.
Assigned, and the kids feel, I think, more empowered about it. So the Startup Club, what's been the reception from readers outside of your own household? What's some of the feedback you're getting?
It's been so fun to hear what the kids like. I mean, every kid has loved it. And I was nervous, right? I'm not a children's book writer. I just have this passion about teaching these ideas to kids from an early age. I did partner with a woman who is an actual children's book writer, and my sister, who cared about this too. But still, right, this is not my skill. I don't know anything about this. And so I've just been so thrilled to see how much kids like it. It's been really, really great. I've gotten a lot of feedback saying, when's number two coming out? So I'm glad that it's worked out.
And you wrote this with your sister, illustrated it, right? Is that what I...
Nope. My sister and I had the idea.
Okay.
And then we called a friend who's a children's book writer and said, we need your help. And so she wrote it. And then I put on Facebook, does anyone know a good children's illustrator?
Ah.
And a friend of mine from business school said, my wife is. And so she became our illustrator.
I want to talk about your path, your career, and figure out what came first, your entrepreneurial bug or your journalism bug? Because you, like you said, you went to business school, but then you became an anchor and you host your business show on MSNBC. And through that show have been exposed to so many entrepreneurs. You yourself have a business as well, goodsearch.com, which is a way for people to save money and also give back as they shop online. What came first?
That's a good question. So I come from a family of business people and entrepreneurs. My mom and my brother started a company together. My dad started a company. Both of my grandfathers started companies. So I think that is a little bit in kind of the air for me, or my blood maybe. But when I graduated, and all of my siblings started, like, went to business school and did business, I was the real rebel who went to journalism.
Oh my.
After school. But I always had a penchant for business and socially responsible business, and so I think I always wanted to start something, even when I was a journalist. I just didn't know what it would be, and that's why then I went to business school and then worked in business and came back to journalism, then started my company. It's kind of just, it's both in there.
What has your job informed you most about starting a business? You've, again, talked to so many successful people who are out there doing it. What has been the biggest inspiration?
Oh my God. So when I started doing the show on MSNBC, I left CNN, I started Good Shop, and then I came back to MSNBC 6 months later and started hosting Your Business. So for 12 years now, I've been running Good Shop. We now hired a CEO, but I've been, you know, a founder of Good Shop and hosting this show. And they're just 1,000 little things that I get inspired by every single day by the people that I interview. And sometimes it's very practical, like what percentage of healthcare should I pay for my employees? And sometimes it's big and it's more self-helpy on, okay, I'm experiencing this challenge in my business and I'm waking up at 3 a.m. every day. How do I actually deal with tough times?
And I mentioned earlier the site's called Good Shop, but Good Search, but Good Shop, Good Search, interchangeable, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we started out as Good Search, and then we changed the name a few years ago to Good Shop.
But you can go to either URL. I'm on there now.
Exactly.
How do you have time for everything? I know that's maybe an over-asked question, but I really am curious because you have a busy household, you have a busy day job, you have this online company, you also have written a book. How do you manage your time, and what's any advice you can give other very busy people?
Sometimes I manage it very well, and sometimes I manage it very poorly. I mean, I think what I try to do is not beat myself up over it in general, and just I literally have just an ongoing to-do list that I keep crossing things off of. And I think, you know, and I have good people around me. That's the number one key thing, is you need help. And I have help everywhere, right? At Good Shop, at MSNBC, at home. But I think what I do the worst is take time away from the kind of the day-to-day to think big picture about everything. And so I'm trying to set more time aside to do some of that strategic thinking, whether it's about the show or the company, the book, or my family life.
Yeah, that's so important, because then that's kind of why sometimes CEOs or founders don't become the CEOs. Have you found that? Because they're just like, I can't be stuck in meetings all day. I need to be thinking about the direction of this company. So it sounds like you want to maybe not be so much the COO or the CEO, but like the visionary.
Yeah, well, for founders. So I founded my company with my brother, Ken. And now we have this really amazing CEO, John Park, who runs it day to day. But what's so amazing about my brother is he is a real entrepreneur and a visionary, and we are a good partnership, because he dreams it and makes it happen. And so we've been able to work really well together on that front.
That's convenient. That's really special.
Great.
That's really great. Well, let's talk about your finances, shall we? We talk about people's money all the time. Yeah, let's just get to it. As much as you want to share, but let's start with your money philosophy. Do you have a sort of like financial mantra that you lead your life with, that you manage your money with?
My husband and I are quite different. I'm sure you deal with this. I know you deal with this all the time in your work, but right, he's a little bit more, things are going to work out fine. And I'm a little bit more like, do we have every kind of insurance we could possibly have? And are we saving as much as we need to? And so I think that it's a nice balance for us to be able to talk to each other about this and kind of guide each other through of here's where we can be a little bit more risky and here's where we need to be more conservative. I for sure am more conservative, and he for sure is less.
So how do you find common ground? Because I think that's very normal for couples to have different money attitudes and contexts from which they think. So how do you make it work?
In the numbers, because I think that where our attitudes, actually, the Venn diagram has actually a much more overlap than I just made it sound like, and it's because our general philosophies are different, or our kind of feelings about money are different. But when we actually get down to the numbers, if we put a budget down there, it turns out we feel kind of the same way, right? So I think that in the abstract, people, it's too hard to make kind of big platitudes and I feel this way and I don't think we should do this. But when you actually look at the numbers, it tells a story, and it's easy to, I find it's just much easier to deal with actual numbers than philosophies.
Yeah. The numbers don't lie. Did you get a good education around money when you were a child, or even around entrepreneurship? What's a money memory from childhood that has stayed with you that was very memorable and taught you quite a bit?
So I would say more than money, I got an entrepreneurship lesson because I sat at the table with two parents who had started businesses. My mom started her company with my brother when I was in high school and I worked there. And so I watched this thing from ground up be just an idea into something they eventually sold to Monster.com and really had a front row seat to the whole thing. And so I saw what was easy, what was hard, where they, you know, where they really had to work hard to turn this into something that was real. I think that was a really neat thing. I also got as a child, and I don't know how, but this idea of don't spend money on things that aren't important to you. That is carried on with me. If it's really going to make a difference in your life, whether that is, if you have it, obviously, whether that is emotionally or physically, but don't just spend money for the idea of spending money. Think about it. Is this really going to make you happier?
It sounds simple, we often don't have that, sort of realization or thought process when we're buying things. And I just read a quote the other day on Twitter because I probably spend too much time on Twitter. But Nate Berkus, who was a guest on our show, he said something like, you know, you may think that you can't afford a great life, but when you actually start to buy the things that have meaning to you and solely meaning, like that really tell a story that capture the essence of you, you will realize you can afford more than you think. Because we fill our lives with just stuff that we think will make us happy because it made our friends happy, or it made, or we think it'll make our, you know, our loved ones happy. But really, it's not at the core what is important to us. So it's
at
a good
all
principle.
And I also grew up with a family that really cherished experiences over things.
Y'all were ahead of the curve because the studies are just coming out that is actually a way to buy happiness.
I know. And so I just thinking about this, when you said a lesson that you learned, it was really that. And so my parents really did put much more value on, you know, spending relative to what we had, right? A bigger chunk on that, on a good trip or experience versus some fancy pair of something.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real kill women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
Yes. I think what impresses me a lot about you, besides obviously your career and all the directions you've taken it, is the amazing family that you and your husband have built. You know, three children. Raising kids in New York is not easy. I have two and they're much younger than your children, but was it always your goal to have a relatively big family? And not only that, but to do it in New York, I think is extra, is another layer of challenge. What keeps you guys sort of, you know, staying the course? I think that is very commendable.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm one of four. I probably would have had four kids if we had started younger. But I'd like knocked those kids out really quickly. They're only 2.5 years from start to finish. So I always wanted a lot of kids. I feel like we're sort of like a walking party because there's so many of us, and I just loved having so many siblings. As far as you know, my husband and I feel the same way about family first. I know, you know, many, many people do, and we're lucky enough to have some flexibility in our lives so that we can spend a lot of time with them. But, you know, look, I really believe that quality time with your children is important. And if you have a crazy job and you can't spend a ton of time because you're working so that you can provide the life you need, quality time is great. And we put our children, we just care a lot about them, mm-hmm. and care a lot about our family. And so we do everything we can to do things as a family.
I want us to get to a place, I don't know, maybe you're already there, but for me, I feel like whenever I get asked to go places and be places and do things, I want to do everything, but I just can't. And it's not just because time is limited, it's because that means time away from my family sometimes. Like I could probably have something to do every night of the week. Cause I'm really popular. No, but because like you get all these invitations and a lot of my friends are still single or have older children, but I have young children and I like my family and I want to spend time with them. And I feel like that's not, in response to someone saying, "Hey, can you join us for dinner tonight?" If I said, "No, I'd rather spend time with my family," that might come across as a little weird, but that's the truth. I mean, I need to be cognizant of how much time I'm spending away from them because they're not going to be at this age forever. And I want to be able to enjoy it.
Well, and that's the thing with New York City, right? Is there is an interesting thing happening literally every night that you could go to. And it's tempting because it's interesting, right? There's a lot of really great people and great conversations and events happening all the time. And so it's hard sometimes to turn it down in a vacuum of thinking like, oh, I really do want to go hear that person speak. But I agree with you. And the fact is that, yes, there are trade-offs, right? If you think about, okay, I could go to this dinner and it would probably be really good for my career or networking or something, or I can go home and be with my kids. And people, you just have to decide what's important to you and understand that it's a trade-off. You cannot have it all. You just all right. can't.
I'm totally fine with it. I do think though it's hard to sometimes bring that up because I also understand that some people, just to get really deep into it, like some people want to have a family. They're not there yet. So I don't want them to feel bad, you know, that I'm like, I'm very fortunate that I have this choice, right? To go or stay home with my beautiful family. And I don't want to like rub it in. But maybe I'm just overthinking it. I need to just, you know, be truthful and be like, this is not, I can't come tonight because I just have to, you know, I'm out a lot this week and I need to be home with my family. But rather than coming up with some excuse, I know, I just basically say like,
or you could just say, I already have plans.
Yeah.
You don't have to say what they are.
I'm an oversharer. If you haven't figured that out already, I'm totally an oversharer and I cannot just like
make a, it's not a lie, but it's, you know, I got to go. I got to give the details because I think it's the journalist in me.
It's funny. I'm a little bit older than you, and so I've probably more friends with older kids. And particularly, this isn't, I mean, it is sort of one of the, actually, it's men and women, my friends. There's a lot more meeting for lunch or breakfast because there is a general sense amongst a lot of people that I know that, hey, I want to go home after work and go be with my kids.
And I have been doing more breakfasts since the kids were born. And I like that because I'm up anyway because I haven't slept.
Yeah, we had breakfast. You and I had breakfast.
That's right. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So have a power breakfast.
Exactly.
JJ, we talk about wins and losses on this show, financial wins and losses. So let's start with the loss first. What's a money failure that you learned a lot from? It doesn't have to be like something dire, like a foreclosure, but something even, you know, regretting that you did recently or way in the past.
I think when I was single and living in LA, I spent more money than I should have on rent. I know this was a long time ago, but I had this really amazing house that I rented. And when I look back on it, it's so silly. I would have been just as happy in something not as great. Amazing is relative, by the way. You wouldn't look at it and be like, whoa, she's really living the high life. But
how much of your take-home pay was going towards rent? In New York, it's normal for a young person to spend their very first half the monthly paycheck on rent, sadly.
Oh, God, I don't even remember. I just do know that I think back as I'm teaching my kids about compound interest, which we've been talking about a lot in my house. I just think, why didn't I just put that money in the bank or invest it in something?
Are you really?
Why did it go to Miss Anderson, who was my landlord?
I know. Miss Anderson's retired early. Thanks to you. But so compound interest to 9 and 10 year olds, is it working? Is it sticking?
It is. Welcome to the crazy conversations in the Rampart Glass household.
Take us
we
there.
We are nutty. We are nutty talking about compound interest at the dinner table. Yeah, they get it. Particularly the 8-year-old and the 10-year-old get it. My 7-year-old is not. She's not paying as much attention yet.
Well, the studies say that, you know, just talking about financial concepts to children is not nearly enough. That you need to kind of pair that with an exercise or an experience. And it sounds like they're getting that too, right? They're not just like getting the lecture. They're actually getting to see it in action or experience it.
Well, we've done, they have savings account, right? But we've also just put money into calculators online very simply, just sort of a compound interest calculator so they can see how it grows. But we always do. I try and play fun games with them around money and entrepreneurship. So there's an empty storefront down the street from us, and we've played this game of what kind of store would you put in there and how would you make it work? And is there competition around here? And what kind of price point would you need to have? And, you know, sort of ask all of the questions. Or we were at an Italian restaurant the other day, and we were like, okay, back of the envelope, what do you think it costs to run this place?
That's a great game. You're really using your surroundings to learn about entrepreneurship and money. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, they like it. It's been fun so far. One day they might have a backlash and say they only want to talk about movies or something, but so far they've been interested in it.
While you have the captive audience and you're paying for their dinner, get it. Get the education. My mother would tell me everything in the backseat of the car while I was strapped in. That's when we would have our, you know, our serious conversations. And I remember that. I remember those moments. Okay, so your so money moment. What's something that you're really proud of? So the rent in LA, not so much, but what's something that you felt was a really financial feat, something where an experience where the stars aligned financially, all was great?
Oh, did it happen yet? God, shoot. I should have prepared this ahead of time.
You got a discount on back to school clothes or something, you know, it doesn't have to be, again, like not like the foreclosure, but,
got it. Yeah. I'm going to plug my own. This I'm going to yeah. turn this around and plug Gumdrop, which is yeah. so my brother and I have started as part of GoodShop this browser plugin. It's getgumdrop.com. And basically what it does is when you get to the shopping cart, when you're online shopping, it automatically puts in the best coupon that exists in the universe. And so the reason we started this is because I get that, as many people do, that thrill of like, oh, I just saved $20 on this mm-hmm. shirt or whatever it is that I'm buying. And because I hated getting to the checkout and seeing that submit coupon box and having no coupon, you just feel like an idiot. Like there are savings out there that I'm not getting it. So my So Money moment is every time I shop online and Gumdrop automatically fills in that submit coupon box. I do, even though it's my company.
I use it.
That, like, I did it.
I use it.
Oh, good.
It comes
so you
up,
know what I'm talking about.
I do. That little Gumdrop. It's like play, you know, it's like you're in Vegas and you're like rolling the dice and you're like, what's going to come? Or just like, cause you never know, like you go on a site, whether it's, you know, Gap or Nordstrom or someplace, and that little Gumdrop button could, does the work for you. And it's always a nice surprise when there's something to save.
It is fun. I know. And when it shows you exactly how much you've saved, I love it.
Okay. We're going to do some So Money fill in the blanks. We're wrapping shortly, but before we go, I want to start off a sentence and then you finish it. This is how we make sure the guests at least stumble once on this show. That's my goal. No, I'm kidding. All right. Don't overthink it. Here we go. If I won the lottery tomorrow, the first thing I would do is
split it with my siblings.
Oh, that's so nice. There's four of you, right?
We've already talked about it.
Oh, okay. Because my next question was, would they also have the same answer?
They would. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Every time there's a big lottery, we talk about it.
All right. Check. Do you play it with them?
Yes.
Do you play? Okay. Have you ever come close
to the winning the lottery?
Yeah. No. Like off by a number or two. Yeah.
No.
Do you know that?
I don't know, actually.
Someone told me that 30% of Americans say that winning the lottery is part of their retirement strategy.
Oh my God. That is so frightening.
I know. It's pretty sobering,
yeah.
right? I wish
yeah.
it was like IRAs, but no, it's winning the lottery. All right. The one thing that I splurge on that I'm not ashamed of is
vacation.
Yes. The one thing I spend my money on that makes my life easier and or better is
babysitting help.
When I was growing up, the one thing I wish I had learned about money is
save more of it.
Yeah. When I donate, I like to give to blank because
oh God, there are a bunch of them. I give to FAIR, which is Food Allergy Network, because I have a daughter who's allergic to nuts. I give to World Connect, which is this amazing development organization that I'm on the board of. Whole bunch of things.
Great. And it sounds like this, it's because you feel like there's a personal connection or experience
yeah.
that you have. Yeah, that goes into it. All right. And what else is on this list? I'm running this off my memory because I've done like 500 episodes. You think I already know what the next question is, but I'm trying to think what the next one is. I think we're at the end already. Here we go. I'm JJ Ramberg. I'm So Money because...
Because I'm on this show.
That is literally why you are So Money, because you are on So Money.
You have stumped me.
I have... Yay! Okay, so...
because I am steeped in entrepreneurship day in, day out from my own life, from my show, from everything I do, the new book, everything.
Yeah, from teaching your kids at the dinner table. Thank you so much, JJ. This was a lot of fun. I can't believe it's already 30 minutes, but that's what it's like spending time with you. You make everything better.
<So sweet. laughs> Thanks, Farnoosh. This was great. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks so much to JJ for stopping by. The book again is called The Startup Club, a great holiday gift for the children in your lives. And if you'd like to learn more about JJ and Good Search, check out goodsearch.com. Also a great site to shop on this holiday season if you're looking to shop with a purpose. You know, as I said, 50% of revenue that is generated on Good Search gets to go to a charity of your choice or a school of your choice. JJ is also on Twitter at JJ Ramberg. If you missed any of this, just hop over to SoMoneyPodcast.com and there you can download the transcript. You can obviously download the audio and you can also leave me a question for the Friday episodes of Ask Farnoosh. And also there, let me know that you want a co-host. Click on Ask Farnoosh, either type in your question or leave a voicemail, and also let me know if you do want a co-host. I would love to connect with you. As you know, I've been doing this now for many months. It's a tradition now. We're going to continue it in 2018. I'm looking for new co-hosts. So what do you have to lose? Just tell me you want to do it and probably we'll connect. It's that easy. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.